You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
There are two men in that jungle who are trying to steal from me. I feel like a little boy who's lost his first tooth, put it under his pillow waiting for the tooth fairy to come. Only two evil burglars have crept in my window and snatched it before she could get here.
Ha fatto dos...
Wait a second. Do you understand the concept of the tooth fairy? Explain it to me.
I follow those dentures, idiotas. Vos hai perdi un dente? Ah? Point le bacio. Almo fala. Ah, e fado.
Wait, throw. She takes the goddamn thing, gives you a quarter. They got my tooth. I want it back.
Terrible gibberish. Splintered memories looming up out of the time fog. Just press play.
Tonight, any protester, any instigator, or agitator will be made example of.
This system makes of us slaves. Without dignity. Without debt.
We'll make you a millionaire while you're sitting here from 1 minute to the next.
What else would I do with myself?
So what makes you so high and mighty? Will you tell me that? Didn't you ever try looking at your own eyeballs in the mirror?
Why not me? Why not? A guy can get anything he wants as long as he pays the price.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Take two. Welcome to episode 167 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Creswell. Let's see. We're rolling the dice with this one. We're rolling the podcast dice. It's recording now. Juicer can't stop laughing. Welcome, Juicer Cogburn, to episode 167. How you doing? Cheers to you, sir.
What's up, dude? It's like the fourth time we've done this.
I know. No, it's the second time we've done this.
Third.
I guess you can count one of those false starts. Mm-hmm. Seems to be going fine now, though.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Oh, yeah. I got the RAM is down. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're looking good here. Yeah, I'm liking these numbers. All right. Let's get the show underway. It's been a clusterfuck so far, and we've just got started. Excited to see where the rest of this goes. Be better if I talk into the microphone like I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You have no idea what you're doing.
Am I cursing a lot? I feel like I'm cursing a lot. We have with us first-time guests from A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Samantha Haar is here.
Hey. Sam,
how you doing?
Good.
You are here with Travis. How's it going, Travis, back
there? Yeah, he's chilling in the back.
Appreciate you hanging out, guys. Sorry you got to sit through all that that pre-show.
It's fine.
Pre-show nonsense.
The pre-show nonsense. Usually we're recording the pre-show nonsense and it's fun, but that was just ridiculous and terrible. But you're here. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thanks for
having me. Yeah, thanks. We had Ross on back in January,
I think.
A couple months ago. And I wanted to have you guys on back-to-back weekends. Doesn't work out that way. Had you scheduled for February.
Yep.
And that didn't work either.
Had to fall through. Mm-hmm. Scheduled for now for March. Almost didn't happen because of this bullshit, but we are here. I'm glad it's working out.
Yes.
So hope you're ready to talk some movies and other nonsense.
I am.
And also, as you know, we have there's games and there's lightning round and
the lightning round is kind of intimidating, but I'm
ready
for
really?
It.
Lightning round's fun. You think it's intimidating? I intend it to be kind of lighthearted and
it's lighthearted, but I have a anxiety problem where like I'm like, oh god, I have to come up with something good.
Oh, true. No, that's why it's got to be the first thing that comes
exactly.
to mind.
That could be bad with me.
That's true too. Actually, you never know. Well, I guess we'll now have to sit here in anxiety and worry about the lightning round until the very end of the show.
I will.
But then you'll walk out of here with a sweet prize. So that's the way it always works. But before we do any of that, it's time to do... we start to show the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. So I'll go ahead and start that right here. There we go. Boom. 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 Boom.
for the entertainment that you seek. It's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
All right, as they use the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000, you can go to chriscrespo.com for past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. The last four picks were documentaries, Drusa Cogran pointed out. Are we doing another documentary this week, or is it something all new?
Close.
Ooh, interesting. Sam, please let the people know what is the Netflix Pick of the Week.
It is The Master.
Interesting. Close. What'd you say? Oh, because of the Scientology.
Based ish on real life, kind of maybe.
Sort of. Philip Seymour Hoffman's sort of playing the L. Ron Hubbard type. Thank you very much. Crazy movie. Very arty movie. I definitely recommend it, but it's a type of thing where I feel like I have to warn people if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, watch out. Joaquin Phoenix does some weird stuff on the beach in the first scene.
Yeah. Ooh. He does some things that might make you a little uncomfortable. It made the other people in the scene uncomfortable. It's pretty funny. It's a slower paced film, and it's definitely out there, a little weird, and it's in a roundabout way about Scientology and like just cults in general, cult mm-hmm. of personality, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's not really a movie so much about Scientology as it is about like a mentor, mentee, surrogate father, son type thing between Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix, which I think just watching those two actors throughout this movie is worth the price of admission.
They're both crazy in this movie.
Yeah, they're both crazy characters and they're both crazy good actors.
Right.
And it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, so it's like, you know, very well done and it's gorgeous and it was shot on 70mm. So it's a beautiful movie, and I love it. I think it's great.
Right.
But it's also the type you should check it out. But it's also the type of movie like if you watch it and then you say after you're done with it, it's like I thought it was okay. It wasn't your bag.
Probably understand that.
I'd be like okay, sure.
Okay.
You know, because this movie's not for everyone.
Right.
And it has its own specific thing going for it. So, but I definitely at least recommend people giving it a shot.
Gotcha.
And that's a good choice. So thank you, Sam.
All right.
Good job. We're gonna start the box office recap. In a different way, we didn't see any movies at the actual box office this weekend.
No, we did not.
But we did see a new movie on the Netflix.
Uh-huh.
That Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Yes.
Not to be confused with The Big Adventure.
No.
That was good, though.
Big Adventure is amazing.
Nice. Big Adventure is, awesome.
Big Top Pee-wee is a disappointment.
I don't think I saw that
one. Do you remember that one?
I'd say Pee-wee's Big Holiday is somewhere in the middle.
I would say so, too.
Which holiday is it?
It's his first holiday.
It's vacation.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a weird thing though. It's like apparently he's never left town, and it's a road movie.
And he works as a line cook,
but
at a weird restaurant.
But Pee Wee's Big Adventure is a road movie.
Uh-huh.
He leaves town
never before.
Yeah, he goes to L.A.
Nope,
to get his bike.
The
fact apparently,
so I guess we're pretending that never happened.
Apparently, he doesn't remember that.
Exactly. It's a little weird. It's a little weird, but it's a fun little movie. It's kind of surreal. Joe, man, they said his name like 1,000 times in the movie. I'm one of these ones that can't pronounce it. Joe Manganiello?
Something like that.
Manganiello?
Okay.
The dude from True Blood, and he's married now to Sofia Vergara, the big guy.
Oh,
he's in the Magic Mike movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He plays himself?
Yes.
Okay.
/ Pee-wee's best friend.
But
new best friend.
New best friend. They hit it off right away.
That's kind of hilarious.
It is. It's actually
really weird.
It's the best part of the movie.
And seriously, this guy is in this movie a lot.
He's the driving force. He drives the plot.
So
because he comes through town, he meets up with Pee-wee. They hit it off. And he's
root
like...
Root beer barrels, Chris.
They make friends over root beer barrels, the little candies.
Okay.
And Joe's like, Pee-wee, you're my new best friend. You need to come to my birthday party in New York City in 5 days. And Fairville, I guess it's like California or something. It's on the West Coast. So the whole movie is him trying to get cross country, hitting the road for the first time to get to New York so he can go to Joe Manganiello's birthday party.
Wow.
And it's the crazy characters he meets along the way. It's Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
All over again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I'll like it then.
It's fun.
But then, you know, last time I watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure probably was 10.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That's a thing.
It may have changed.
And there's like multiple, there are different types of Pee-wees. There's the Pee-wee that's like for adults, like the Broadway show mm-hmm. he did.
Yeah.
And then there's like the Pee-wee's Playhouse type stuff that's for kids. This is more the family friendly for kids, Pee-wee. Like,
definitely.
You know, girls like, ew, you know, he's like, has icky with girls, and he's bro crushing on Joe Manganiello. Manganiello. I'm going to get it one day.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Well, it's a Pee-wee movie. It's not going to be great, but.
Right.
It's cutesy and funny, I'm sure.
I do love... I mean, I think Big Adventure, though, still holds up. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be a kid to appreciate Big Adventure.
There is, like, you know, adult humor in it.
Yeah.
And it's just weird enough, you know?
Because it's got that Tim Burton weirdness. It's like the Tim Burton weirdness mixed with the Pee-wee weirdness. It was a great match. I don't think Tim Burton did Big Top Pee-wee.
No.
So that's why. That's why it was good.
It definitely had nothing to do with this one.
Nothing to do with this one. Judd Apatow produced this one.
Oh, yes. I do remember hearing
that. So it's kind of like a 65-year-old virgin type of deal.
Yeah.
Here it goes. Paul Rubens is up there in age. Or did they digitally de-age him a bit, didn't they?
They must have.
His face looked weird the whole movie.
Okay.
Like, but not like... Like, they made him younger, but not too much makeup younger.
Uh-huh.
It's like it was unnaturally smooth, but I don't think Paul Rubens has gone through all that Botox, all that work. I don't know. I think they digitally de-aged him. It's a...
Hey, but it'd be weird. It'd be weird to see an old-looking Pee-wee. So they kind of had to do that.
You would think so, right? But even in the movie, he comes across as like in his 40s.
He still comes off like a 3-year-old.
And he's still doing that childlike act thing. And it still works. It's not as creepy as on paper it could have been.
Right.
An older Paul Rubens doing it. So, you know, if you have Netflix, it's like, it's good. It's worth it. Especially if you like Pee-wee stuff. But it's not like I wouldn't recommend it to someone who hasn't seen any Pee-wee things before.
Yeah, no.
Right? It's like you almost have to know the character.
So do you think kids these days would not get it at all?
I think kids would be fine with it. They'll just see a ridiculous character.
Okay.
And they'll buy into it. I think older people, I think it depends. You have to have that like nostalgia for Big Adventure and Playhouse for this really to work for an adult. I think kids are dumb. They have no discernible taste.
Well, I don't know. Kids, they're weird about stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
They might just be like, oh, this is some old dude dressed in a tuxedo.
Oh, that's true. They can see right through it.
Yeah, so.
Kids see through bullshit a lot of times. That's true. They could see right through it. I would be interested to know what a bunch of stupid little kids thought of old Pee-wee.
I'll have to have a kid watch it and give me a review.
There you go. Pass it along to us. Let us know.
Okay.
So, Drew, would you agree, Pee-wee?
I mean, if you're not familiar with Pee-wee, there's really no point in watching it. And even if you are familiar with Pee-wee, just go back and watch Pee-wee's Playhouse, because at least then you get some Phil Hartman and some, you know, other side characters.
Yes, Lawrence Fishburne as the mailman.
Exactly, just Pee-wee and Miss Joe, whoever, blah, blah, blah.
Joe Man.
I don't care.
No.
I don't care
about Joe Man.
Don't care at all.
And
all of them, the weird shots of them jumping up and down in slow motion with sparklers everywhere.
It was dreaming.
Was really fucking weird.
Yeah, it was dreaming. There's a shot where they're both wearing the Pee-wee suit with the red bow tie.
And they're speaking to each other in Spanish.
Yeah. That was weird.
Makes no sense.
That was weird. So there you go. Pee-wee's Big Holiday. Drew, let's get into the box office top 5.
Coming in number 5 this week.
Number 5.
Your favorite and my favorite new anti-hero, I guess. Not even really a hero. Deadpool. Made an additional $8 million, total of $340.
Damn, $340. That's domestic. A lot of money. Good job, Deadpool. Good job, guys. Did you see Deadpool, Sam?
I did.
And what'd you think of it?
I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
And I don't really typically like comic book movies.
That's going to be my follow-up. Like, what do you think about comic book movies, superhero movies in general?
Not into them.
Not into them.
I think the last one I may have seen was the first Iron Man.
Oh, wow. You mean in theaters or in general?
In general.
God damn.
Yes. It's not my scene.
You're not missing anything with the Avengers movies.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you like Iron Man, they kept that going. But if you weren't into it, it's not like they're surprising you with anything. Are you interested in anything at all coming out, like Wonder Woman? They're working on that.
No.
The Batman, Superman stuff.
I wasn't interested in Deadpool, but I was convinced to go see it, and I actually really liked it.
What attracted you to it when it was all said and done? What did you like about it?
I guess it was because it was funny.
Yeah, the humor, sure.
Yeah, and it wasn't as hokey. I don't know.
It is funnier than your average
And it kind of made fun of itself.
Yeah.
So
breaks the fourth wall, like the entire movie.
Yeah. It's acknowledging that you're watching a ridiculous comic book movie.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's what a lot of people are responding to. Obviously making over $300 million already.
Yeah.
Movies that come out in February don't do that. So that's the next Deadpool. Well, they may stick with it. They may still put it out in February, but I wouldn't be surprised if they put it out closer to the summer, maybe give it an April release.
Oh, Valentine's Day every year, Deadpool. Let's do it.
It worked this time because it was a love story in part. He was trying to get back. The second one, are you going to go love story again? Probably not because it's the whole Cable thing with the time travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little different.
It's going to be confusing.
Probably.
It is.
Probably. So you'd recommend people should check out Deadpool, whether they like comic book movies or not. Just check it out.
Yes.
Yeah. Right,
100%.
There you go.
Coming to number four this week.
Number four.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes.
An additional $12.5 million, total of 45.
$45 million, not bad. Probably end up making around at this rate to $75, $80 million US, which will be okay. It's a cheap movie. I think it cost them. Does it say there? $20 million?
Doesn't say.
It doesn't say. I think it cost maybe $20 million or less. Maybe even less than that to make. It's a good movie.
I was about to say, I mean, it was all done in, what, like three rooms?
Yeah, it's like one big set pretty much. It's like
a bunker.
Only three characters for the most part. It's a very small, intimate story.
Very few rooms.
With like big implications.
Giant implications.
It's a big movie in scope, but it's being told.
Tiny little story.
Yeah, it's a little story. And it's very smartly done, very well done. And you don't have to see the first Cloverfield to be able to see this one.
Nope.
Not at all.
Don't even have to know what Cloverfield is.
Exactly. So we did a review both in last week's episode with Matt, where we did a spoiler-free one, and then we also put out a spoiler episode that people can check out if you've seen the movie already, or you don't care, and you just want to know all the Cloverfield secrets, because we got all the secrets.
Yeah, we do.
So that was number four. What's number three?
Number three, your favorite type of movie, Chris.
Christian exploitation?
Miracles from Heaven made $15 million, total at 18.5.
What?
How much?
18.5. Okay. Chris loves his Christian exploitation films.
I just think it's a fascinating genre.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. They call it faith-based.
Faith-based.
That's what they call it.
I mean, they only spent $13 million on this movie, so they've already made their money back.
That's a hallmark of the Christian exploitation genre. Like any exploitation genre, you crank them out cheap and quick. $13 million is actually kind of pricey for a movie like this. Probably because it's got Jennifer Garner.
She probably took, what, five of that?
Two to five. Mm. Yeah, for sure. And then the marketing, they had a decent amount of work. I mean, I saw the trailer for this quite a bit. You know, they're selling it.
I don't think I ever saw a trailer for this.
Oh, well, we're in movies all the time.
Oh,
like every weekend. I think I've seen a trailer at least in front of four movies.
I usually get sick of trailers well before, like months before the movie comes out. I'm like, I swear to God, if I see this trailer one more time.
Yeah.
I mean, half the time I'm waiting for the movie to come out just so the trailers will stop.
Yeah. It's like when The Grey finally came out.
Thank God.
That was 6 months of those goddamn trailers. And I was just like, thank
you. Liam Neeson is in the woods. There are wolves. I get it.
I get it. I was expecting to see The Grey trailer before The Grey started. I was like, they're going to do this to us. I know it. But what were we talking about?
Miracles from Heaven.
Miracles from Heaven, Christian exploitation. I mean, there's an audience out there. They need entertainment as well.
Why don't we
that reflects their worldview.
We should start exploiting other faiths. For film.
Ooh, Muslim exploitation.
Mm-hmm. Jew exploitation.
Ooh, well, that's just Hollywood.
Some Buddhist exploitation.
The Golden Child.
Like I said.
That's it. That's the only thing.
We'll just keep cranking them out, Chris.
Rob Schneider, I think, is trying to work that Buddhist stuff.
Awesome. We can get him cheap, can't we?
Yeah, because I think he's a Buddhist now.
You start writing.
So I think he's working that into his, quote, art.
You start writing it, and I'm sure we can get him cheap by the time it's done.
Rob Schneider? Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Did he just do something at Full Sail? Like a TV show or something?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Last year?
He does have a show that just came out on Netflix. That could have been related to that. Real Rob? Did they do Full Sail?
I'm pretty sure.
Full Sail is popping, man.
Yeah, they
do so much over there.
Well, it gave them work, and it was cheap as hell for him.
Yeah, because he got a bunch of students handling the equipment.
Like,
just make sure that's plugged in right, guys.
Thanks.
That's one thing you gotta do. We should do more different types of religious exploitation movies. I agree, Drew. We should write some sort of, you know what else is popular? Those sci-fi movies. You want me to do all the work?
You are the writer.
All right, we'll do some sort of like, it's like a shark alligator hybrid. It's shark gator versus the Jesus team, and it's Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha. And we hit all the religions.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
The Muslims are going to be really angry with us. They make our Charlie Hebdo on us, bro.
Muhammad, you never see him.
Okay.
He's always like off screen. Like Jesus is like, what do you think about that, Muhammad? And he's looking to the right. And then you just hear off screen.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Muhammad. Buddy. Right?
Sure. I'm down.
I guess we're going to. This is back to the drawing board.
It is. Yeah.
Well, good for miracles from heaven. That's cash money from heaven. For Jennifer Garner, who is now...
And I'm sure all that money's going back into the churches, right?
Oh, yeah. If by the churches you mean their pockets?
Yeah.
Yes.
There is one studio that is based out of a church in Georgia, and they make, like, the Kirk Cameron movies, like Fireproof and stuff, for, like, $3 million, and they end up making $25, $30 million. That does go back into their church and their studio. But I'm sure Mary's from Heaven, it's some fat cat executive. It's like, yeah, that paid for my mortgage for the next 3 months.
Yeah, it was Lionsgate.
The Lionsgate, cash money.
Oh, my bad. TriStar. TriStar. Number two. The Divergent series, Allegiant.
The Detergent series, Allegiant.
Weekend gross, $29 million, same as total.
I've seen the first one. I think I think this is the fourth one?
Third.
This is the third.
This is the third?
Yeah.
Have you seen any of them?
Yes, I've seen them both.
But you haven't seen the newest one?
I have not seen the newest one yet.
Are you going to plan
yes,
on
I
it?
Yes, I will.
Would you see it in a theater, or is it are you all wait for a Redbox type of thing?
At this point, I can just watch it at home.
Yeah, you're not that big into them?
Well, I really like the first one. The second one, I was like, yeah, they're kind of phoning it in.
I kind of have a feeling they're doing that the third one, too, because it's only rated at 10% fresh.
Yeah.
No way.
Rotten Tomatoes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I'll watch it just to finish out the series.
Sure.
But
I don't think the other Divergent movies are rated that low.
No. Out of 120 reviews.
Only 10% fresh?
10% fresh.
That is not good.
That is not good.
What is the consensus here? What's it
saying? Allegiant improved previous entries in the Divergent series on a few superficial levels. But they aren't enough to counteract a sense of growing boredom with a franchise that's gone on too long.
I agree.
I'll tell you this. I did see the first movie, and I saw part of the second one. Seeing the trailers and the marketing for the third one, I can't make heads or tails of what the story is about or what's going on.
I know.
Jeff Daniels shows up, and he's like,
she's the cure, whatever that means.
We're going to save you and everyone else. We're just going to let him go.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm wearing all white.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And her hair keeps changing.
Yeah.
We got some good hairdressers in this dystopian
future. Isn't there some sort of Matrix in this thing, too?
A Matrix-type deal?
Yeah. Where, like, people are plugging in or something. I don't know.
No, I think is that the Maze Runner?
I don't know.
No, at the end of the second one, there was a thing where they had to, like, plug her. It's
they're all
okay, see? So I was right. There is some Matrix nonsense.
It's too hard to even explain because it
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Wow, because it's such
it went off the deep end.
It's such a mishmash of so many different stories. Yeah. Okay, well, then I guess I don't feel so bad about not keeping up with
it. Nah, I wouldn't be too worried about it.
I like the whole, what I liked about the first one the most is the whole forcing into dream. And having nightmares and things were like surreal and
it's
weird.
Like face your fear kind of thing.
And she was like, oh, is this a dream? It's not a dream. Kind of a Total Recall type of thing. I really enjoyed that, actually. Mm-hmm. Then I feel like they didn't do that much of that in the second one.
Nope.
And it looks like in the third one, there's none of that. They're just running around with guns.
I don't really know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to watch it because I want to finish it out.
Right. Someone's got to watch them. It reminds me of The Maze Runner. I really liked the first Maze Runner because I thought it was a cool, interesting story, and then went and saw the second one, the Scorch Trials.
See, we haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. And it's so...
And I'm worried about it.
Bloated and freaking ridiculous.
It's just like every other dystopian future teenagers running
like
around.
There are deserts, and there are zombie things, and there are... other stuff, and so there's a company that's actually named Wicked.
Yeah, the company's named Wicked. That just pisses me off. That annoys me so much. The
it's like, welcome to Evil Core.
Yeah. Welcome to WeAreBadGuys.com.
What?
Here for all your world domination needs. All right, well, you're going to, whenever you see it, if it's on Redbox or whatever, you're going to have to tweet us, email us, do something, let us know. Because we need someone.
I'm sure it won't be great, but I'll let you know.
Right, hey, you never know. You might like it. You might be like, oh, these other motherfuckers
amazing.
Are wrong. You might be like, I side with the 13 of the 130 that said it was good. Drew. That was number two?
Yes.
What was another one?
Zootopia.
Get out of here.
An additional $38 million.
Get out of here.
Total $201 domestic.
God damn. That's a lot of money, man.
Kids movies, bro.
It's been out for, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
God damn, that's a lot of money.
And it's been number one for 3 weeks.
It could be the second movie of the year to hit 300 at the U.S. box office, which would be a hell of a feat.
Behind Deadpool.
We saw this a few... That's a weird double feature, Deadpool and Zootopia. We saw this a few weeks ago. We did our review. We both liked it. It's good. Do you watch animated movies?
Oh, yes.
Or?
And we're huge Disney people.
Oh, yeah.
So we actually were planning on going to see this opening night.
Yeah.
Changed our minds and went last minute with The Witch. And now I wish we would have went with Zootopia.
Because you weren't a fan of The Witch.
Wasn't a big fan.
What let you down with The Witch?
Like we were saying before, I just don't... I guess I was going into it thinking it was going to be something else than it was.
Sure. Well, did you, you saw the trailers and the marketing and stuff?
Yeah, and it was a little mysterious, but I kind of just assumed there'd be a lot more witch.
Yeah, I think I think the trailer sold a lot of, witch shenanigans.
It sold a different movie.
It did.
Yes.
It sold a movie that's a more mainstream movie.
Yeah.
That had less to do with the family and more to do with the evil in
and
the
jump
woods.
Scares.
And jump scares. Yeah. And then alluding to Black Phillip.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of goat action.
As opposed to just watching Black Phillip fucking impale that dude in the stomach.
Spoiler alert!
So awesome.
I guess it's been a few weeks now. That was pretty
I think that part's actually in the trailers now. When he gets him and then throws him into the wood pile.
Okay, yeah, because they do that now. When after a movie comes out, they'll put more moments in the commercials and trailers to try to get people to come out. Like, watch, a week after Batman vs. Superman comes out.
You're going to see Doomsday.
Yeah, the trailers are going to have, like, all.
Yeah, Doomsday's
going to
be all over it.
Aquaman's going to be in the trailer. Cyborg's like, what? This movie has all this stuff? Trying to get people to come out.
Yep. Giant bloated mess.
So next time you know, you got to see Zootopia instead of The Witch.
Yeah.
Next
definitely,
time you know.
Definitely going to see Zootopia soon.
Zootopia's good. I saw a lot online before I saw the movie, which might have made my, it definitely made my expectations too high. A lot of people were like, oh, this is now, Disney animation is now as good as Pixar with their high level of output. And I feel like, nah, they're still a little behind Pixar. Like, I didn't feel the same way after Zootopia that I did with movies like WALL-E,
Ratatouille,
and
the Toy Story. It doesn't pull at your heartstrings the way those Pixar movies do.
Yeah, there's something about the Pixar movies where they go that extra mile. Like, Inside Out is a fantastic movie. I love that movie. Zootopia, I was like, yeah, it's pretty good.
I've heard nothing pretty but good things about it, so.
Yeah, sure.
You just think maybe your expectations were a little too
high. I think they were too high for sure. And I did read one negative thing about it, which was interesting. In the movie, you know, the whole thing is anthropomorphic mammals. Yeah. They're all mammals. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, they make a point of saying, and apparently they got this from real life, 90% of the mammals in the world are prey, and 10% are predators.
Yeah.
And then in the movie, it's a whole thing about how the predators are going, they're going savage, and they're taking out prey. So it's like, oh, you have to watch out for the predators, because they may go crazy and start killing people. And it's weird to do that with the minority of the group. Because it's like, the majority are the prey, and now you have the majority looking down upon the minority. Right. That's a little too much like real life in a negative way. It kind of reinforces some negative stereotypes. But then again, it's a fucking cartoon movie about talking
anthropomorphic
animals. So
yeah.
They are trying to get a message out there, though, so it's tricky. But I still liked it. I thought it was good. New movies coming out on DVD. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay - Part 2.
Sweet, I can finally... No, I don't care.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? No, you're not gonna.
I saw three of the four. I give up. Just like I did with The Hobbit. I saw three of the four. I'm giving up.
It's better than part one.
Really?
Yeah. Those part ones all just talking and set up. Yeah.
It was a lot of talking.
Nothing happens. Part two, they're going through the city and there's traps everywhere and stuff.
Maybe I'll watch it.
A little more action. Kiefer Sutherland, father Donald. Gets more.
Yeah. I was about to say. 24.
Kiefer Sutherland's father. Kiefer Sutherland's father gets a lot more to do in this movie. Philip Seymour Hoffman pops up for a minute, which when I saw this movie in theaters, and then like one of the opening scenes was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
You were like,
I was like, oh.
You're so dead.
Well, he died during the filming of it.
Yeah, and he's in like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
And then they probably had him in more, but they couldn't film it.
They had him scheduled for more, and they had to work around that, give his dialogue to other characters or whatever. But seeing him pop up, it was still pretty fresh too, I think pretty close to when he actually died.
So
I was like, oh, this is a bummer to see this guy. And But it's an okay movie. Yeah,
I'll watch it.
If I was going to rank the Hunger Games movies, I would go 2, 4, 1, 3. But you shouldn't watch them in that order because it wouldn't make any sense. Yeah. I guess with those movies, you can't really watch them in any crazy order. Also coming out on DVD, The Letters, which is a movie about Mother Teresa, and which was very poorly reviewed. So,
very nice. I didn't know about that one.
No one knew about it.
Okay.
It wasn't very good, and the reviews sucked.
It sounds like they tried to bury it.
So everyone stay away from The Letters. That's more of a stay away from type of a warning there. What's come out in theaters, Drew?
In theaters this week, I saw The Light, where Tom Hiddleston tries to play Hank Williams, which is going to be weird.
This movie was supposed to come out like last November.
Yeah.
And then it got pushed or it was even before that. It got pushed like 2 or 3 times. So I guess we'll see if it actually does come out.
Also, my Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
What?
Yep.
Oh, wait. When was the first one? That was a long time ago.
Like 8? No. 12 years ago? Maybe longer?
Long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Over a decade?
And that first one.
Do we need a second one?
We don't. Apparently. But what's her name does? The lady who did the first one. She needs a second one because she needs some money. That first movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, is the highest grossing film to never hit number one at the box office.
Oh.
Because it had like a limited release, sort of. But it did very well with older audiences. And it was stayed in the theaters for like 20 weeks, for like 4 months.
Wow.
And people just kept coming out and seeing it in drips and drabs. And actually made its way up the top 10. It got to like number 3 or number 2. Never hit number 1. Ended up making a ton of money. This lady made like 5 other movies that are all Greek themed, Greek related somehow. Finally, full circle. My big fat Greek wedding too. Sure, you gonna go see it?
No.
No, you sure?
Positive.
Well, I mean, you liked the first one so much.
I never saw the first one.
Are you sure about that?
Positive.
Actually, I don't think I saw the first one either. Did you ever see it?
I feel like I've seen bits and pieces of it. Maybe like when it was TV. On TBS yeah. or something. I
feel like it was on right? TBS a lot too.
Yeah, but no, I didn't really actually sit through it. So I don't know anyone that wants to see, who wants to see this?
Older folks. Okay. I mean, seriously, like women in their 40s, 50s, women who saw the original in theaters 15 okay. years ago. They'll probably turn out for it in a similar fashion. It's a lot like when that movie Sisters came out around when Star Wars came out.
Yeah.
And it ended up making $80, $90 million at the box office over time because there is an audience for it. They just don't, it's not an opening weekend audience. Not like the other movie that's coming out next weekend or this weekend.
Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Yes.
It's finally coming out, this clusterfuck of a DC film.
Yeah.
With probably 10 too many characters.
Probably.
I mean, there we go.
It looks ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be probably the biggest opening weekend ever for Easter.
I mean, just listen to
it's Easter weekend.
Just listen to this bloated plot synopsis,
uh-oh.
Chris.
Oh, here we go.
Fearing the actions of Superman are left unchecked, Batman takes on the Man of Steel while the world wrestles with what kind of hero it really needs. With Batman and Superman fighting each other, a new threat, Doomsday, is created by Lex Luthor.
Oh, shit.
It's up to Superman and Batman to set aside their differences, along with Wonder Woman,
what?
To stop Lex Luthor and Doomsday from destroying Metropolis.
Oh, that's just in the trailer.
But how can they... Metropolis already got destroyed.
You're
gonna
get destroyed again, motherfucker.
But they haven't rebuilt it yet.
How do you know they haven't rebuilt it?
Because it's only been like a matter of weeks in this movie universe.
As that's true, by the way.
I mean,
maybe Superman flew around and supercharged everything.
The first scene is the first Superman movie from Batman's perspective.
And then it says 2 years later, it's rebuilt up again, and Bruce Wayne's like, I'm finally going to do something about the Superman situation.
So stupid.
You know what? Yeah, I don't know if the movie's going to be any good, but we're going to be there opening weekend.
Yeah, we
sure.
are. Uh-huh.
You're not going to see this.
No.
No.
No interest.
I can see the lack of interest in your face.
I honestly, because I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I'm like, why do Batman and Superman even have an issue with each other? I have zero. They're both supposed to be heroes.
Well, no, here's the thing.
They have issues with each other over time.
Well, and it's only because... See, Superman's an alien, so Batman doesn't trust many humans, let alone some cosmic god from another planet.
Yeah, he's like, this is an immigration issue, we need to build a wall around Krypton, okay. That type of thing.
Exactly.
All right, so it's political.
Yeah, he's like the right-wing fascist vigilante, and Superman's more like Boy Scout. Hey, be cool, bro.
Exactly.
Maybe we can talk this out before I super punch your face in.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Every now and then he's got a super.
And Batman's just like, shit, he's gonna super punch my face in. I gotta build me a suit.
For a second, we're gonna say super punches tits in. Like Batman's right in the tits. Batman, ow. Take that. There is a really funny picture. It's like a promo picture. You know how they put out promo photos of Batman's wearing like his bat armor. Superman's standing in front of him, and he just has his hand on his chest, like he's about to push him. But it's before the push, so he's just standing there with his hand on his chest.
Oh, like, hey. Like he's caressing.
It looks like it's a total, like, I can't quit you scenario.
Aww, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's what, if these guys just get a room and relax, then we wouldn't have this whole Versus movie. It could have been Batman and Superman, Dawn of Love.
Dawn of Love.
Dawn of Love. So that's coming out. We'll be talking about that next weekend for sure. Probably end up doing a spoiler bonus episode. He calls content. That's it. That's everything else that's come out in the theaters.
Yeah, there.
All right, Drew. Well, that means it's time for your segment. Are you ready?
Am I ever?
It's time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Here's an intro.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove. Do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
All right, Dr. Drew, take it away.
Well, Chris, this week I'm taking inspiration from that kind of good movie we watched this week, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Okay.
Not Pee-wee's Big
Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Because the Big Adventure was the good one.
Even the titles are kind of similar.
I know.
What's that about?
Yeah. But anyway,
maybe they meant it that way.
They must have. Yeah. They're trying to do a callback type thing.
Yeah.
So what was the inspiration you got?
Well, I mean, I've been a busy guy lately.
Yes, you have.
Got a new job, things of that nature.
New job, jobby jib, keeping you busy.
You should go on vacation more.
Go on vacation more.
I'm planning a vacation here fairly recently. Hell, so, I might even go on vacation on Thursday.
On Thursday?
Yeah, it's my day off. Why not? Do something silly.
Oh, you mean a one-day vacation?
No, I'm talking like a two-day vacation.
Oh, okay. So that's nice.
Yeah. So yeah, take vacations. They're fun. Doctor's out.
Doctor's out. Beautiful. Thank you, Dr. Drew. We appreciate it, guys. Let's take a quick break here. Speaking of Batman vs. Superman, the score is, it's a co-score. It's being done by Hans Zimmer,
mm-hmm.
who's very famous, you know, done a lot of composing work. And Junkie XL, what's this guy's name? Tom Hicken? Hickenlooper? Hickenloafer? Hickenpfeffer?
What?
The Junkie XL guy.
If you say so.
He did the Mad Max score. Oh, all the drums. You guys see Mad Max Fury Road?
Yeah, it's good.
I love that movie.
So awesome.
He does all the music that's related to Batman.
Okay.
Because Hans Zimmer did the Dark Knight score, mm-hmm. and he didn't want to do another Batman score, so they got a whole other guy to come and do his own drums thing. So this is a song from the new... I didn't even write down the title song. So here's a random song from the Batman vs. Superman soundtrack for this movie coming out this weekend. We'll be back for the second half of the show. With Drew and Sam, you guys ready?
Yep.
Yep.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
All right, we are back. Episode 167 is underway once again. I'm hanging out with Drusa Cogburn and Sam Har. Guys,
what up?
How you doing?
Good.
We're all having a good time. Mm-hmm. Yes. Especially since, you know, everything seems to be working.
Well, this time.
Nothing's stopping on us.
At least not yet.
Don't jinx us.
Oh, yeah, my bad. I should knock on wood. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Sam, you got anything to plug? What do you want people to know?
Well, I'm on this little podcast called The Mediocre? Mediocre Time turned into a Russian.
It's Russia's best podcast about dudes.
Number one Russian
podcast about pornographies and babies.
Yes, the Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. I sit in with them Fridays at 2.
Hell yeah. Reading the emails and yes. Cracking jokes.
Send in your emails. Show@tomanddan.com. I'll read them.
There you go. I love that show.
Yeah.
Listen every week.
It's good.
It's good stuff.
It's pretty decent.
Where can people find you online specifically?
Facebook, Samantha Har, H-A-A-R. Weird.
You'll accept friend requests from people you haven't met?
As long as you're not a fucking weirdo.
It's kind of hard to tell though sometimes.
You can't tell on the
very
internet.
Very true. And then I delete you immediately.
Oh, true.
If you start messaging me weird stuff.
Very good. Right. Very smart.
On Instagram, I'm Insta_Sam86. And on Twitter, I am that Sam.
86, year you're born.
Yes.
It's a good year.
I'll be 30 next month.
Oh, congratulations. 30 is a good year.
We'll see.
It was okay.
Oh, for you, it was okay.
It was bad.
It wasn't bad. I like 86 because that's when the Mets won the World Series.
There you go.
That's my thing. Drew Sakaga, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, all over the interwebs.
He's on that Twitter.
On it.
Facebook.
Yep.
But...
Nope. Don't request him.
No, only if I...
You can.
You can now because I've met you face to face.
Okay, awesome.
I do not accept friend requests from people who I have not met face to face.
Yeah.
Even if they're fans of your show?
Doesn't matter.
He's brutal.
I have like 4 or 5 friend requests pending that I am not going to accept.
Yeah, these people are going to have to like fly here. God damn.
Nice.
Because it's...
Just accept. It's Facebook. It's not even real. It's fake.
It's more.
You close the computer, it's all gone.
It's more real than you think, Chris.
Is it though?
Mm-hmm.
I give them like the FBI check.
There you go.
You know, I need your social security.
The background check.
Yeah. I need to make sure.
Like, why do you want to follow me so bad?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? You can find me online just search for Chris Crespo. It's pretty much, I'm the Chris Crespo. Well, on Twitter, I am Chris Crespo.
You are.
I couldn't fit I am the Chris Crespo.
Nope.
Right.
You know, too many damn letters. Mm-hmm. Also, couldn't fit Cinema Crespo on Twitter. Nope. So it was just Crespo Diso.
Yeah.
It was either that or Cinema Crespo Dis.
Yeah. Yep.
Or you pull an angel and like take out a random eye.
Yes.
And then just hope people spelled right.
They don't.
No, they don't. Shout out to Angel.
It's Off-Seal Angel.
Off-Seal Angel.
Off-Seal.
It's Off-Seal Angel. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. I'll accept your friend requests on Facebook. I am, though, worried about what I do when I see a friend request. I'm like, oh shit, is this like a real person?
Right.
Or is this like if I hit friend requests, is it automatically send friend requests to all my friends?
Yeah.
And it's some sort of spam thing that's going to worm its way through. No, I'm worried about that type of shit.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be, right?
That's why you never accept anyone that has 0 mutual friends with you.
That's, yes.
That's always sign number one.
Very, very suspicious.
Yeah.
If I get a lot of friend requests where the profile picture is like a pretty girl.
Oh, of course.
And then I check the friends that they already have, and it's all a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. Of course.
And I'm like, nah.
Yeah, because it's not real.
Nah. I'm falling for that one again.
not for the 5th time, damn it. God, 4, I draw the line.
4, you got me enough times. ChrisCrespo.com is the website. Rate us and review us on iTunes and Stitcher, and email us, cinemacrespo@gmail.com. 4 stickers, Drew. I see you got a lot to read there this week, buddy.
I got some reading stuffs, man.
Okay, well, you know what? Let me just close this program that I opened by accident and open the right one. And we'll start with Billy D's Death at the Movies. Ready for that?
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. Here's that theme song. See other ear. It's the mix because of the other ear. That was the remix version. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. You can hit him up on Twitter at ILoveBlood. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Had another nice little week off and got to do a bunch of stuff I don't get to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like look at people with liberal definitions of employment waiting in absurd lines. Union Square Game of Thrones event. Kanye West Soho pop-up merch stand. Super long lines. I'd go, look, laugh, and carry that with me the rest of the day. Fucking New Yorkers and lines. They love them.
Hey, that's something they do well in New York, lining up for stuff. The only people who are better at it? The English.
Due to my love of watching people be slowly murdered by time, I'd broken a new pair of Vans and broken several muscles that did not need breaking in. I spent most of Friday and Saturday resting and watching things. Billy D presents Billy D's Death by Home Theater Spring Break Roundup 2016.
All right, enough of that.
Gotta start off with Daredevil Season 2.
You already watched that show? It just started on Friday.
I woke up in pain early Friday and decided once I massaged some stuff into my knee, I wasn't doing shit.
Massage some stuff into my knee? That sounds weirdly secretive.
Daredevil had launched, so I was like, what the hell? Looks like my day just got booked.
Oh my god.
I took extended breaks every 3 episodes or so, but watched it in a day.
I know what extended break means.
It's pretty awesome.
Massaging something else.
Massage something else. massage his lungs.
I intend to watch it again. I don't want to spoil anything because it's a full season and it just came out.
No
but,
shit!
But John Bernthal is the Punisher. Holy shit, he is a force of nature. Mm. Also, the fight scenes are some straight up Raid style shit. Huh. I want to watch it again just for some of those. The Expanse Season 1.
The Expanse, oh, that's that show that's on Sci-Fi, I think.
I watched this over the course of 2 days, and whoa.
What, a whole season on Doctor Billy?
Sci-fi really killed it with this. A rich, slow-burn space opera spread out over a single season that leaves you wanting so much more. Mm. I've been on a big science fiction reading kick and have added these novels to my shortlist. Game of Thrones meets Blade Runner in space. Awesome.
All right. Blade Runner? You said Blade Runner.
I did, Blade Runner. I've also been playing a lot of this PC game called Devil Daggers.
Wait, that was reviewing a PC game?
It's a whopping $5.
I guess I can do it every once.
I imagine you are in a dark room.
Okay.
With unlimited ammunition.
Okay.
Being relentlessly assaulted by hordes of demons.
Ooh.
And there is no leveling up, no saving, no quest.
That sounds hard.
Just you and the demons and a timer.
Sounds like a Doom spinoff game.
The whole point is to see how long you can last. I've made it to 50.673 seconds. It's amazing. It's basically Doom on crystal meth.
Oh, okay. There you
In go. Fact, it's probably exactly like playing Doom on crystal meth. Check out a trailer or take the plunge on Steam. It's $5, and after installing it, it basically played for itself within 30 minutes.
Oh.
Stay cool, Billy D.
Damn, Billy D. That was a whole lot of stuff. We appreciated reviewing multiple TV shows and a video game.
Doom on crystal meth.
Doom on Crystal Meth.
I kind of want to play.
Crystal Meth Doom?
Yeah.
Sure, go for it. I'll supply the Doom.
Oh. I'll supply the Crystal Meth.
All right. We got that worked
Let's
out.
Let's do this.
You in on this one, Sam?
Yeah, why not?
Think about that. I don't know these guys yeah. for real with the Crystal Meth.
Yeah, sure, why not?
This guy looks a little tweaky. all right, time for my favorite segment. One of my favorite segments. Dr. Truth to a sense is my favorite segment. My second favorite segment's got to be the voice of the people, the Vox Populi. When people hit us up with questions, movie reviews, and topics, and we read them on the show, and I get to play the this thing right here.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Populi.
That's it. What did you see? You let us know and reread it on the show. Drew, take it away.
Chris, we got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
But I want to read the title of the email because it's awesome.
Read the title of the email.
Matt. Matty Ice. Matt is cabin. Cabin boy. Boy, that guy's taste in movies is... ..
Oh, shit. Referring to last week's guest, mm-hmm. Matt from SBK Live.
So, here's the email from Scott.
Okay.
This time, it wasn't you guys. It was your boy, Matt. I took his advice, fired up my Netflix, and watched a movie that he recommended on your show last week. A movie that I'd never even heard of. Victoria.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. It's on Netflix now.
The weird thing is, I've always thought that Matt's taste in movies was, to put it politely, kind of shitty sometimes. In all the years I've been listening to him on all the various shows he's been on, his opinions on movies have rarely jived with mine. He would rave about stuff that I thought was crap and flat out refuse to watch good films, great films, even Oscar winners, because he just couldn't be less interested.
Hmm?
When it came to movies, his word meant very little to me.
Ooh, so, damn.
So why then did I watch Victoria?
Yeah, that's a good question.
An obscure film that even you guys didn't know about, that Matt brought up out of nowhere to give a rather glowing review? Because I wanted to hate it. I wanted it to be terrible.
I like that stance.
I wanted this film
very
to be
honest.
The touchstone with which I could debunk and dismiss Matt's taste in movies forevermore. Basically, I just wanted to be able to rip on the guy after he was on your show.
Nice.
But, god damn it, I just can't. Victoria is a really good film. Shot in real time and seemingly, although I doubt it, in one continuous take from start to finish. It follows a girl for more than 2 hours as she goes clubbing, meets a nice foursome of guys. They all have a great hour or so together in the streets of Berlin, just having sweet and mostly innocent fun together. But then, a phone call, the tension rises palpably, and the mood of the night starts drifting slowly downhill, and there's just no turning back. I won't say any more, just that if you guys haven't seen Victoria, please do.
Damn.
I'd love to hear your take on it.
Glowing review of Victoria from Scott. That's amazing. Oh, shit.
Oh, snap.
Truce to God, we're in first the world. Truce to God, we're in first the world. Simon, truce to God, we're in first the world.
Not those email yet.
There are more to the email? Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and finish that email first.
I won't say any more. Just say that if you guys haven't seen Victoria, please do. I'd love to hear your take on it. And to Matt, who started this whole mess, well, I guess your taste in movies has been promoted from shitty to spotty in my book.
Nice.
Congratulations, buddy. A complete stranger thinks slightly more of you than he did yesterday. Well done. Take care, guys. Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
P.S. Can't leave without a haiku.
Nice.
Nice coffee shop girl becomes wheelman for a heist. Berlin nights are rough.
Yeah, very good. 5/5. Thanks, Scott. We really appreciate it. Gotta make sure to let Matt know, because Matt doesn't listen to the show. Gotta make sure to tell Matt to go listen to this part of the show.
I don't even listen to the show.
Drew doesn't listen to the show, but at least you're here. Speaking of Drew, it is time for Drew's Comrade versus the World. Drew, so far this year, you are 4-3. Sam, you're representing the world.
Yes.
This week's game, we've done it before, Drew, but I haven't done it in a while. It's called Taglines.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you the tagline from a movie. You tell me the movie. So, for example, if the tagline was, just when he thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Jaws.
Incorrect.
Jaws 2?
That's correct. Back in the water.
Wait, is this going to be multiple choice?
No.
Oh, I'm getting terrible at this.
But I will tell you that all of these movies are within the last year.
That means nothing for me.
It's supposed to narrow it down for a little
bad bit. Memory.
Okay.
Let's go.
But it's all within the last year. So I have two groups of five, A and B. Since Drew lost last weekend, Sam, you got to pick. Go first. Do you want group A or group B? Choose wisely.
B.
All right. I'm going to tell you the tagline. You tell me the movie. Number one.
Pressure.
The world's most dangerous times created the world's most dangerous group.
Is this a Trump rally?
Oh, shit.
God.
Make America white again.
I have zero idea.
Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is.
That's a good one. Number two. The rules have been reset.
I'm literally going to get none of these.
These aren't easy. The rules have been reset.
Let's go Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2.
Oh, so close. Terminator Genesis.
No.
Didn't see that either.
It's not good.
Once you say the name of the movie, now I understand the tagline.
It goes backwards. Yeah. It works backwards. Yeah, I get it. Number three. Heroes don't get any bigger.
Deadpool?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ant-Man.
Because
he's small.
Embarrassment.
Number four. All of creation is at stake.
That Miracle movie?
Miracles from Heaven? No. Gods of Egypt. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't even know what that
God,
is.
It was off. Don't worry about it. It's awful movie.
Not good, but it's recent.
No, it just
came out. Yeah. Finally, number five. Every generation has a story. No? Drew's shaking his head. He has no idea.
I don't know.
Recent movie. Something recent. Ooh, Drew has an idea. No?
No.
Star Wars.
That's what I thought it was. That should have been easy, too.
All right, Drew, so you got to get one right.
You just need
one,
buddy.
This is going to be rough.
You got to get one
just
right.
Just one.
I didn't know any of those.
All right. Well, see, good. Then maybe I should watch Group A be super easy.
Fuck. It's possible. You know
God
what?
Damn it.
I try to make him even, but I fucked
he's
it.
Awful at this.
I fucked it up all the time. Number one, Drew. No one comes up here without a damn good reason.
Everest.
No, The Hateful Eight.
Oh!
Well, Everest was a good, that's a good answer.
That is a good answer, yeah.
You're thinking in the right direction. Number two, bring him home.
The Martian.
Boom! That's correct. That's correct. Number three.
I actually just watched that, too.
It's really good.
See if you said A. Number three, a new class of superhero.
Jacob.
That's correct.
Of course. Yes, see, I should have had fucking A. Damn it.
Number four, find your breaking point.
Was that Creed?
No, it's Point Break.
Oh, fucking Point Break. What a shit show. Find your breaking point.
And finally, number five, they don't get any closer than this.
I got nothing.
That would be Sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Sisters. Yeah, yeah. But Drew, you win. Congratulations.
I got one right.
Hooray, I got two right.
Yeah, you got two right, actually.
Oh, you're right. I got two Deadpool.
You only needed one, but.
Yeah, well, yeah, see, that's why I say choose wisely. I thought they were kind of even, but I was. Here we go.
It's fine.
All right, back to the Vox Populi, the segment of the people, voice of the people. We had Scott's email. What's next?
On Twitter.
We're going to Twitter. You can tweet us at Crespodiso.
At Mr. Nadathon got at us.
What's up, Nadathon?
He has a mini review for Holy Mountain.
Oh, Holy Mountain. Oh, my God.
My quote-unquote friend, we all know what that means, took LSD and had a thrill watching this.
Oh, my God.
Really makes you think. Everyone needs a sanctuary of testicles.
Yeah, the sanctuary of testicles.
I mean, it's Holy Mountain. You don't even need to be on LSD to be tripping while you watch that movie.
No, this guy made movies. He tried to get people to feel like they were tripping without actually taking drugs.
Exactly.
With his movies.
And you pretty much are.
The Holy Mountain is from the 70s.
Okay.
And it's, man, as arty as an art movie gets.
It makes little to no sense.
It makes sense to the artist.
Like I said,
Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Makes little to no sense.
And it's about, it's like, the movie is as if an alien made a film.
Okay.
Like an alien, like, this is what movies are about. And he made a movie. And you're like, what the fuck? What are you trying to tell us? And it's about a guy who goes to, like, different planets.
Yeah.
And at one point, a dude craps a golden turd.
Uh-huh.
And it's insane.
Okay. It is. It's really weird.
It's an insane movie. And our boy Nathan watched it. Well, his friend watched it whilst on the LSD. Uh-huh. I knew another guy who, his quote friend, he went with mushrooms and not Holy Motors, entered a void.
Ah, yes, yes. Yeah, I know that guy too.
Have you seen Enter the Void?
No.
No.
It's pretty
it's all right.
Pretty extreme.
Okay.
Pretty intense movie. Type of movie where people eat mushrooms and watch.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That type of thing. Holy Mountain, I would say definitely people should dig that one out, find it, watch it.
Definitely.
LSD is optional.
Of course.
Yeah.
At Mr. Nadathon, get at us again.
Oh, yeah. After his friend came down.
He's got a mini review for Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Oh.
Totally different from Holy Mountain. All right.
More like Pee-wee's Big Disappointment.
Aww.
Big Adventure, this definitely is not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true, though. That's true. All right, thanks, Nadathon. We appreciate it.
At Rage Against Twit got at us.
Our homeboy.
He's got a Big Short review.
Big Short? The Big Short's good.
Funny, yet serious and sad. Star-studded.
Mm-hmm.
Unique.
Mm-hmm.
Peculiar in its arrangement.
Yeah.
Rewatchable. Underrated. Timeless.
I would agree with all those things.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Underrated? Didn't it just win an Oscar?
It did win a couple of awards.
But not many people saw it, though.
It didn't make that much money.
I didn't see it,
it made dick money.
It's definitely... It's not... But the type of movie that it is, though, it's not. You don't have to see it in a theater. You don't need a big screen. You don't need a lot of sound.
You
can watch it at home.
In fact, it might even be better to watch it.
You think it might play better at home?
Well, only because then you can sit there. It's a movie about real things
that
actually happened.
Derivatives.
So, well, no, but you can have discussion afterwards or even during.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. During the movie, you can look at whoever you're sitting next on the couch, like, man, that's fucked up.
Right.
You're gonna see that a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
You're gonna look at Travis Long, be like, man, that's fucked up, Travis.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
Watch
On Facebook, Ron out in LA got at us.
Our homeboy Ron. We love Ron. Good guy.
With movies like Gem and Transformers being made right now, I wonder what 80s cartoons you guys would rather see done and who you would cast or recast.
Oh.
If you want to redo the ones already made like Gem, I want to see a Turbo Teen movie with the guy who played The Flash on TV as the lead.
I don't know that.
Kale as random black friend and Emma Watson as white little sister. It would be great.
White little sister.
So any 80s cartoons you guys want to see turn into movies?
Man, they already like did them
specific?
Though. Like Transformers, they've been working on He-Man for years.
G.I. Joe.
There's another Ninja Turtles coming out. Am I right?
Yeah. This summer.
It's a sequel to the last one, though.
Yeah.
It's still no TMNT, which is by hands
the animated down, one.
The best
the
one.
The animated one
ever
is awesome. Although this window's gonna have Krang.
It's gonna
and the Technodrome.
It's gonna be crazy, but I still don't want to see these quote unquote urban turtles.
I don't like these turtles, and they're all bulked up and huge and weird looking.
And they're black, Chris. They're black turtles.
I mean, the facially, I guess.
No, they are. Yeah, no, facially, the way they talk, everything, the whole.
Michelangelo still has kind of a. I can be black surfers.
They're
no,
they're quote unquote urban.
They're urban. All right, sure. Yeah, you made the argument before. I won't argue against you.
Yeah, it's stupid.
They're making a Voltron movie.
Mm-hmm. They're making a Trolls movie, for Christ's sake.
Apparently,
yeah.
That's right. They're making a Trolls movie. Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Stupid things with those fucking hair.
That's
nonsense.
The gem in the holograms movie is a bummer because they took out the whole, like, the talking computer and all the stuff that made that show really weird. Mm-hmm. And then they just made a movie about a girl who's, like, the next YouTube sensation.
Why 80s cartoons? Why can't we just get 80s? Can we get a fucking Knight Rider movie?
Yes,
I could see that happening.
That'd
can
be
we
fun.
See a fucking Knight Rider movie?
Didn't they revitalize them? They have
there
a Knight Rider TV show.
They tried a show, yeah.
And didn't it work out,
no.
Right? It's a good idea. It's a fun idea.
It's because they didn't have Feeny as Kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have Feeny.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Feeny.
Feeny mm-hmm. still alive?
I don't know. What's his actual name?
Nobody knows.
Why are you asking these heavy questions?
Mr. Feeny.
He's Mr. I mean, it's Boy Meets World. Come on.
All right, getting ready to bring us down. Find out that Mr. Feeny's dead.
How do
Kit. Just voice of Kit, dead or alive. K-I-T-T. It's two T's in Kit.
Is it two T's?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It stands for Knights in...
William Daniels.
Well, here we go.
Encyclopedia.
I can even finish it. Here we go.
Come on, Feeny.
Still alive!
All right, let's do it. Feeny's in.
He's back. I'm sure he's back.
Is he in the, what is it, Girl Meets World? Show?
Oh, I don't know.
That's
never,
a good question.
I've never seen a single episode.
Neither have I. That's I know Topanga's in it.
I know. So they both are.
What's his name?
Oh, they
yeah,
are.
Yeah,
okay.
Cory and Topanga, they're the parents, and it follows their daughter, I think.
Right.
Yeah, and hence the Girl Meets World.
Mm.
How about Ryder Strong? Is he back?
I don't think so.
Not Eric.
But he did, what?
The friend.
Sean.
What? He did, what was that cabin movie? Not Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin
Fever.
Yes. That
last
was
time
weird.
You saw Cabin Fever. Yeah, yeah. With all the gratuitous ass shots.
But that was like 2004, man.
Yeah. That was the last thing he did, I'm pretty sure.
That was a while ago. Ryder Strong.
Hang on.
It's not a real
name.
That's a great name, though. Come on. That's a great name.
Not real, but.
Maybe he's dead.
Right. No,
he's
alive. He's
still alive.
He's alive. He's, yeah. You hear about him.
Sounds like a porn name, though.
Yeah, he does. Ryder Strong and Roger Moore in. Do we answer a question? I feel like we...
No.
80s cartoons.
80s
movies.
Cartoons.
I mean, I brought up a show, but not a cartoon.
But who would you... Are we supposed to be casting these things
I
too?
Mean...
I mean, you could.
Ron, this question is a lot of work,
there's
Ron.
Seriously.
Yeah, a lot of facets to it.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a lot of cartoons in the 80s. Early 90s was more me, because I was born in 86, so...
So that we're talking about Snick...
I watched
Disney Afternoon.
No.
No, I mean Darkwing Duck.
Tailspin, Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Tailspin.
DuckTales is coming back.
DuckTales.
Yes, DuckTales is coming. I was thinking of more like Gargoyles.
Disney's Gargoyles,
yeah. Gargoyles would be.
Wait, I think. Didn't they already.
But animated, though.
Didn't they already try. Wasn't there a Frankenstein movie with Gargoyles?
That I, Frankenstein movie?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, but that's not Gargoyles, though.
Yeah, it might
just
as well be.
Just Gargoyles.
It might as well be, Chris.
Oh, true. You shat on that one right away. Didn't even give it a shot.
Nope.
Stillbirth.
I think Darkwing Duck would be a good
what
movie.
What about Captain Planet?
Captain Planet. It would totally be a Captain Planet movie.
Have you guys seen Don Cheadle?
Actually, yeah.
Funny or Die?
Yeah. But if, amazing. If you do it for real.
No, Don Cheadle still.
Still Don Cheadle?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
As Captain Planet.
Yes.
And then
and
you
do
got,
it dark like that?
Yes.
And then the five. Let me see. Who's the kid, the redheaded kid? That could be Chris Pratt. Indian kid, Aziz Ansari. Right? Well, he's a heart. He's a heart guy. He's like, yes, heart.
No, he was an Indian. He was a South American.
He's like, heart, man. I still wanted to be Aziz Ansari.
Okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's brown. It's okay.
So we got Chris Pratt, Aziz Ansari.
We need Earth. We need a black guy.
Your
boy Chewie?
Childish Gambino.
It's too old.
What's his real name?
Glover.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover.
I was almost said Danny Glover.
Okay.
The wrong
that works.
Glover.
I'm down with that.
Okay. We need a blonde haired girl.
Oh, what's her name? Oh, God. House Bunny.
Anna Faris.
Yes.
There we go.
And now we need another girl.
Asian girl, right?
Asian girl.
Lucy Liu's too old.
Way too old.
Who was,
sorry, Lucy. We love you, Lucy.
Who was the Asian girl in Scott Pilgrim? She's decent enough.
Oh, Knives Chow?
Yeah.
Knives Chow. Chow Knives.
Throwing Knives Chow.
Okay, so Chris Pratt, Knives Chow, and the other people.
And when their powers combined, they are Don Cheadle.
When their powers combined, they are Don Cheadle.
Uh-huh.
And this works for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Ron.
Here we go.
All right, we're answering your question.
And on Facebook. Facebook, Josh McNulty got at us.
What's up, Josh?
Why are they remaking Ben-Hur?
That's a good question. You know what? There's a Ben-Hur movie coming out this summer. Not a remake.
Really?
Of Ben-Hur.
Because I know they did the TV show Ben-Hur.
Right. Well, there's a book.
Okay.
That Ben-Hur is based on from the 1800s. That's in the public domain.
Ooh, there we go.
We could make a Ben-Hur movie right now. We don't got to pay no one nothing. Now, the Ben-Hur movie is a copyrighted piece of art. So that's actually not a remake. They can't refer to that. They can't use the music. They have to make their own Ben-Hur movie that's separate from that. So that's probably not going to be very good.
No.
Directed by the guy, Tamir Bekmambetov, who did Night Watch, the Russian horror film.
It could be weird.
It could be weird. He did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. That was weird.
Yeah.
Wanted. That's a weird movie.
Yeah.
Guy makes weird movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, it could be weird, but it probably won't be. It just won't be very good.
Probably. Like most of his movies. Yeah. Right? Weird, but not very good.
Yeah. It's true. That's the way it is. Anything else from the peoples?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Let's check out some movie news here. We got some stories. I got, I should have had this pulled up already, and I didn't, but it's all good.
Good job, Chris.
Thank you.
Way to be unprepared this episode, buddy.
Rare form.
We only restarted the computer four times.
Only four times.
We only sat here for like 40 minutes trying to figure that out.
And I'm still on my first beer, too, so it's not even like that can be part of it. Just mention real quick, Batman vs. Superman, because Matt was on the show last week. He said this movie is not going to do very well. Financially speaking. Drew, you said it's going to open just fine.
It's going to do well financially. It's still going to be a piece of shit movie.
Early advanced ticket sales, online ticket sales for Batman vs. Superman are outpacing the Avengers and Deadpool advanced ticket sales. And those movies made tons of money.
And Deadpool probably going to be the best one of all the three of them.
Probably. Yeah, most likely. So $140 million Easter opening weekend looking likely for Batman v. Superman. Indiana Jones 5.
Ooh, it's Easter weekend, so it'll be Batman v. Superman v. Jesus?
Yes.
Sweet.
Indiana Jones 5.
Who wins in that fight?
Hang on, Batman.
Zombie Jesus.
Okay, well.
He's already undead.
Batman's out because he's just a mere mortal.
He's a mortal, yes.
That's true.
So we have Super Alien versus, technically he's not a zombie, he's a lich.
What's the difference again?
Yeah, there's a whole thing about it, but anyway. Yeah, I'm gonna have, you know what?
Just because he doesn't want to eat brains?
You know what? I think I'll have to go with Superman.
Superman? Yeah. Superman versus Jesus, you're going Superman?
Yep.
I'm going Jesus.
You're going Jesus?
You can't not go Jesus.
I would think so, too.
His dad created everything, right?
Yeah, and then Superman, like, he flies fast. He's, like, super strength. But Jesus does, like, magic. He walks on water and comes back from the dead. He came back from the dead. Superman came back from the dead, too, actually.
Okay, one and one.
Yeah. So that cancels each other out. Superman, laser eyes, Jesus walks on water.
And
makes wine from water. He does a lot of things with water. He's a water magician.
Fish, multiplies fish.
Fish and bread, no one starves. Superman ain't doing that.
No.
But Superman he can fly into the water and like gather up all the fish super fast.
This could be a wash.
All right, so here we go. This Easter, Chris, remember, Jesus was not a zombie.
Ooh.
He was not mindless, nor did he consume anyone.
Uh-huh.
Nor was he a ghoul or a witch. Although his soul and intellect were intact, he was not a rotting corpse. Mm-hmm. He was not a vampire.
Okay.
While he transubstantiated wine into blood, he never drank it from a person.
No.
Jesus was not a ghost or a wraith. He was corporeal and still had his wounds.
Yeah.
It was clear Jesus was a lich. A lich is created when a powerful magician or king striving for eternal life uses spells or rituals to bind his soul to his animated corpse and thereby achieves immortality. Liches are depicted as being clearly cadaverous, their bodies still bearing the wounds they received before their death. Liches often have the power of necromancy, which allowed them to bring the dead back to life.
So you're saying Jesus is a wizard?
Yes.
That makes sense.
Jesus,
long
what,
beard.
Not just a wizard.
Yes. Bearded.
But a powerful magician using necromancy.
So he's a necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going necromancer over Superman. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no. Superman wins all the way.
No, necromancer, dude. He's going to put a death spell on Superman.
As long as the sun is yellow, Superman wins.
Jesus will... He'll blot out the sun. He'll kill the sun with his necromancy.
Let there be no light.
Let there be... Yes. Thank you.
Let there be darkness.
He's all like... I brought you into this world, Superman. I'll bring you out.
Like a sassy mama.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Like he's a sassy black mama.
So we're claiming that beings from other planets worship the same god?
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, if we're going by the Bible...
Superman's Jewish.
Yeah.
Didn't you know he's a Jewish immigrant?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why he wasn't white.
Same God. Well, I mean, yeah.
No, different God. New Testament God is not Old Testament God.
No, it's the same God depending on who you ask.
Oh, okay.
No. So confusing.
I know. It's transubstantiation ridiculousness. All right, move on.
That's a good turn.
Indiana Jones.
Yes.
5 is happening. July 2019.
Okay,
it's coming out.
So...
nothing you can do about it.
So, first off, does...
George Lucas has nothing to do with it.
Okay. Just about to ask that. Does Harrison Ford have anything to do with it?
Harrison Ford's back.
What about Shia LaBeouf?
I was just about to ask.
Shia's gonna be gone.
Okay, yeah, so it's Shia. Just...
that
so
was
it's,
not a good relationship
so it's
for
just
them.
So it's just Harrison, no George...
No George.
It's going to be a great movie.
Señor Spielbergo.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fantastic.
He's back.
It's going to be awesome.
Because when...
how old is he?
Ford?
Yes.
When they shoot this movie, he will be 77.
Okay.
And then when it comes out, he'll be 79. By the time it comes out.
You think this is going
to
be good?
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with Shia LaBeouf or George Lucas, which were my... two big issues with the last one.
Yeah, you know...
I understand that, you know, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg have worked together.
Yeah,
that Lucas was a part of the whole, you know, Indiana Jones franchise. I get it, but he should not be directing these movies.
Oh, yeah, not directing them, but coming up with the stories.
No, he shouldn't have anything to do with any of it anymore.
He came up with the stories for most of them, if not all of them.
Yeah.
He came up with the alien story that a lot of people didn't like for the last one. But with his sale of Lucasfilm to Disney, not only did they get all the Star Wars stuff, but they got Indiana Jones as well.
Okay.
So that's why, just like Star Wars, Disney's now going to make an Indiana Jones movie without...
well, they had...
man, so that means Harrison Ford is cashing a lot of Disney checks these days.
They have the Indiana Jones thing at Disney already.
Yeah, well,
so it's one of those weird contractual deals.
Yeah, with the theme park thing, they always like license stuff with other companies. Uh-huh. That's how they have... the Simpsons world at Universal Studios and stuff like that, which works out for everyone.
Yeah,
you know. But now with Star Wars, they're building a whole
Star Wars land.
What is that theme park that's over there? Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Like half of that just to become Star Wars.
Yeah,
land,
which they're tearing is, down. I think
they might as well
just converting the whole thing
Indiana
over.
Jones.
Yeah. Yeah,
they should just get rid of it all and make an entire Star Wars universe over there, and it will be nerd mecca.
Well, they are.
Yeah. They're making a whole, like, half the park is going to be Star Wars
it
land.
And then the
other half is going to be Toy Story Land.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's where the money's at.
Hang on, Toy Story Land. That's cool. I like Toy Story. But Indiana Jones, it's definitely happening, and yeah, without George Lucas, so it could be good.
He's not gonna be able to do anything.
No,
right?
they're not.
It's gonna be like a mentor
one
type
thing,
movie. I'm assuming.
Yeah, one thing I saw online, like a way they could continue the Indiana Jones movies.
What's Chris Pratt doing?
Yeah, here's the thing: having a dual storyline where it's like older Indiana Jones trying to solve a mystery in the '60s.
Okay.
And then flashing back to young Indiana Jones in his like in the 1930s. Solving another mystery, and somehow the two mysteries converge, and then you're introducing a young Indiana Jones, and then you make an Indiana Jones 6 that takes place in the 30s with the young guy, like you said, someone like Chris Pratt.
What was Chris Pratt doing?
Yeah, get Chris Pratt in there to play young Indy at the same time as Harrison Ford's in the movie, and then it's kind of like a passing the torch.
Yeah, I will totally. I will watch an entire new Rocky franchise with Michael B. Jordan. And I will watch an entire new Indiana Jones franchise with Chris Pratt.
Sure, that's what they're doing.
Yes.
And also probably Jurassic Park franchise with it.
I don't care about the Jurassic Park franchise.
Yeah, but Chris Pratt does because it's making him some money.
I'm sure.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's franchise crazy.
Yeah, he is.
Good for him. Someone's got to make that money. Let's see. You know what? I want to talk about this story for sure. Sausage Party.
So amazing.
Yeah, Sausage Party is Annapurna Pictures. Their stab at a franchise. They want to make multiple ones of these.
It looks like it's going to be hilarious.
Written and directed by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. You guys did This Is the End and Superbad and all that stuff. And it looks ridiculous. They just had a screening at South by Southwest. Some people are saying that it was one of the best movies.
So this is a full length, right? This isn't like a short.
No, it's a full length movie.
Full length movie about food who they get bought at a store and then they find out the horrible truth.
Right.
They get eaten and torn apart.
They skinned Larry!
Yeah, the potato. They skinned the potato.
It does look great.
It looks ridiculous. And I'm looking forward to it very much. And it got pretty solid reviews. And it was also at South by Southwest. It was a work in progress cut. So, like, scenes weren't even done. Yeah. The animation wasn't done. It was missing music. And people still thought it was really
good.
What
is this rated?
Oh,
rated R. Yeah.
And you don't think that's going to be an issue?
No.
Oh, sure.
Well, where people are going to be like, oh, it looks like a cartoon.
There's going to be a small segment of people.
Kids are going to want to watch it.
And that's and that is kind of the point of making the movie.
Of course.
And for sure, there will be people with a stick up their butt like, oh, you know, you're tricking kids. Yeah.
Cartoons were made for adults to begin with.
That's true.
So
that's true. When I was a kid watching those Looney Tunes cartoons,
so racist,
and they were doing like Humphrey Bogart jokes. Yeah. I didn't know who Humphrey Bogart was. I was waiting for Bugs Bunny to dress like a girl and twist around and we're fighting some way. Mm-hmm. You know, so cartoons were originally for adults.
Yeah,
except for, you know, now they got them cartoons that's like 2 + 2 = 4. You know, it's goofy and like the
Mickey Mouse, that's for kids. Clubhouse.
Kingsman 2. I got the story. This was actually sent to us from Paul Hine.
No, very nice.
You know,
listener.
You're a listener of the show. He contributes a lot in the Vox Populi about Kingsman 2. Did you see Kingsman: Secret Service?
I did not.
That is highly recommend
fun
it.
Fun movie.
Okay.
Very enjoyable. Very cool action movie. It's very funny. Kind of subversive. It's a lot of fun. They already have the cast. They're working on the cast for the second movie.
So have they solved the problem?
With Colin Firth? Mm-hmm. No, they had not solved that problem. Colin Firth will not be back. But they have... Their new villain is going to be played by Julianne Moore.
Okay.
All right.
Which is going to be very exciting.
She's an amazing actor.
I love Julianne Moore. And they just signed on... she's in talk to sign on to play head of the CIA. I almost said CEA. Head of the CIA, Halle Berry.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So Julianne Moore and Halle Berry, the newest additions to the Kingsman cast.
Should be fun.
It's definitely worth seeking out and renting if it's on Amazon or
definitely
something like that. Totally worth
it. It's a fun hour and a half.
It's a ridiculous, ridiculous movie. And I'm looking forward to Kingsman 2, which probably won't come out till like 2017.
Sweet.
Probably. It's already 2016. All right, end of the show. Time for the lightning round. Hope you're ready for this.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Here we go, Sam. I got 10 questions. Man. I need 10 answers. As soon as they come to your mind, boom, just spit it out.
Bad.
Drew, I need you to start the clock.
Go.
Number one, Edward Scissorhands, Captain Jack Sparrow, Willy Wonka. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
Oh, Willy Wonka for sure.
Number two, iced coffee or iced tea?
Iced tea.
Number three, are you superstitious?
Yes.
Number four, Viva la...
Musica.
Number five, explain the purpose of life in 5 words or less.
Oh, for the love of God. For the love of God.
All right, there you go. Number six, where's the beef?
Winn-Dixie.
Number seven, why are there still newspapers?
No idea.
Number eight, which holiday could you do without?
I'm going to go...
Or get rid of a holiday. Which one? Which one gets the heave-ho?
Yeah, let's get rid of Easter.
Goodbye, Easter. Number nine. What do you call Taco Tuesday on a Friday?
Fiesta Friday.
Fiesta Friday. There you go. Number 10. What's the deal with airline food? What's the deal with airline
Gross.
Food?
Gross.
Gross. There you go. Thank you, Sam. Bring us to the very end. That means it's swag bag time, Drew. You got three bags here. You got the pink bag. You got the polka dot bag. You got the blue one with the stripes. Pick one, please. Which one do you want?
I'm going polka dots.
Polka dots in the middle. Drew, break open the bag and show Sam what she may get to go home with today.
You may get to go home with jokes and gags, magic knife, trick
oh
your friends
God.
And stab them.
Nice. That's already good.
We got you a 5-pack of some, they just say
Chinese
vintage,
finger traps.
They just say Vintage Toys finger traps.
But we all know they're Chinese.
They're Chinese because we're racist.
Yes.
We have some Cinema Crespediso bootleg copies of The Omen and Ooh. Million Dollar Baby.
Nice. Okay. That's a hell of a twofer.
We've got a super action yo-yo special.
And a yo-yo.
We have a wind-up...
watermelon guy.
Watermelon guy, I think. Maybe he hops around.
Nice.
Yep.
And you have a frozen Easter egg. It has 12 movie scenes, and also it's filled with candy.
Nice. Anything else? Is that it?
Stickers. Lots and
look
lots
of stickers. Look at that guy go. Look at the little guy go.
Aw.
All right, so Sam, all these...
All of that could be yours.
All these can be yours.
God.
Or you can take what your Sir Cochran has in the box right over here.
What's in the box?
Here we go. There's the box. Look at that big old box, Sam.
That's a big box.
You can take what's in the box, or you take what's in the bag. You already know what's in the bag.
I know.
Box is a mystery.
I really want that knife.
Yeah, have some fun with that knife.
However.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I can't resist.
It's a tempting looking box.
A box.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the box.
We're going with the box. Drew, hold it up.
As always.
Sam, go ahead, remove the lid, reach in there, let everyone know what you're going home with today.
Oh my God. I have a jumbo bag of Doritos spicy sweet chili.
Hey, there you go. A bag of Doritos. Thank you, Sam.
This will be good for watching movies.
Yeah, it's perfect for watching movies. We'll also make sure you go home with a bunch of stickers as well.
All
right. Okay, that's a matter of fact. Here we go. Look. Look, I got them right here, Drew. I got them.
Okay.
Look at all these stickers. Here you go.
Thank you.
All those are yours. You got the Doritos.
What else could I need?
That's it. It's in the show. Sam, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me. We appreciate it very much. Everyone check out A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan if you don't already. TomandDan.com. Drew, thank you.
You're very welcome, sir.
I appreciate it. And thank you for downloading and listening to the show. We'll be back with episode 168 next week. Hopefully, audio problems notwithstanding, things will be rolling right along. Remember to break up the big banks, read more books, feel the burn, be excellent to each other. We are out of here. Thank you.